Why? Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. Now, Spirit of the living God, move within my heart. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be found acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord, you are my strength, you are my Redeemer, Lord Christ. It is in your name we now pray this. Amen. Several years ago now, 26 plus, actually, I had the great privilege of being invited to attend and participate in evening prayer at the Roman Catholic Cathedral in St. Louis as it was being led by John Paul II. It was the beginning of a three-day event in which the Holy Father was there visiting St. Louis, and literally tens of thousands of people came in from all over to participate, if possible, if they had a ticket, in two different stadiums when it came time for the Eucharist. At the cathedral, the 18 of us who were invited to participate, there were some 3,000 folk who likewise were invited, and they came and they sat out in the pews observing the great event. It was quite a spectacle. For here was the head of the church, the pontiff, John Paul II, without a doubt one of the most holy men that has ever lived. You know, when I think back to those events over those 3 days, and literally the thousands of people that were along the streets of St. Louis on those very cold, and it was cold January, believe me, and blustery, to say the very least, event. I can't help but think and remember and realize that I will never forget that event. Alex attended one of them, the Eucharist, and I'm sure everyone who was present that day undoubtedly is probably going to remember that event for the rest of their lives, without any doubt whatsoever. But you know what? This has only been 26 years, but what's going to happen in 100 years? Where that event fades away from memory. No one will be alive then who saw it, participated in it, or experienced it firsthand. Much in the same way, some 2,000 years later now, the event that we have memorialized once again in our liturgy of the Palms and in our other readings today, and yet some 2,000 plus years later, that event, that Palm Sunday, is remembered literally by tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of people this day, all over the world. You know, it's a very chaotic thing, this thing of Palm Sunday. And I'm not just talking about the way I walk or some of the other things that go on, you know, as we poor mortals do liturgy. But it was a very chaotic event. On the one hand, we have a crowd that is very proud in waving the palms and throwing down their cloaks before the coming Messiah. Why? Because he had just accomplished the greatest miracle that could possibly be done for humanity to see firsthand. The raising of the dead. Lazarus had been in the tomb a stinking. Remember? That's what the gospel says, a stinking. He'd been laying there for 3 days. And Jesus calling forth, Lazarus, come forth. And if he had not called Lazarus by name, the whole place would have emptied out. And they would have had a lot of bodies to deal with at that moment. But he called Lazarus, come forth. And about 2 miles away is Jerusalem. And immediately they ran forward to Jerusalem and said, this had just happened. And then Jesus and his disciples, they make the progression into Jerusalem. And the people, the crowd goes wild. There's over a million and a half people, pilgrims, in Jerusalem that day from all over that Mesopotamian basin area. Jews who had come from all over the world to celebrate Passover. And they were taken up with this event. And with palms and other things, and branches, they welcome Jesus in. But all too soon, in a few short days, the pleasant palm is transfixed into a wooden cross. Because those folks who were so taken up with the miracle, who cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, now stand and shout, crucify him, crucify him. What a transition. I don't know about you, but whenever I read these accounts, I'm terribly tempted to get some very sour feelings and thoughts about those who made that flip-flop. About those who are willing to condemn the great Son of God, he who was without any sin, who took all of my sin upon him, that I might have salvation and spend eternity with God. I have this in me that says, you people just didn't see or know what you had in front of you. Why didn't you behave? But whenever I say that, I really need a mirror standing right in front of me. It goes in all sincerity and in all honesty. When I'm pointing my finger at those long ago folk in Jerusalem, I should be pointing back at me. Because here's the reality. Oh, I made a stand with a crowd and yell, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. But what I have done in my sin is I've turned my back on God from time to time. I've decided to go along to get along. I've been willing to compromise truth, biblical truth, to somehow or another placate someone or something, to say the right things and not make waves, or just sometimes to feed the immoral appetites as part of humanity. A very sad reality that we face today, and we have been facing for quite some time, according to every expert having to do with the church today. It's that today, almost half of all members of the church are in that position all the time. As a matter of fact, they've coined the phrase casual Christian, which I really don't like. I read the volumes and I read all the materials and I do my research and things, and I'm reading a bunch of it right now. And it really disturbs me because what I would prefer to name it is casual church members. That's more the truth. They're not Christian. Oh, I know they were baptized and they've been confirmed and they've been in a church body for generations or decades or 6 weeks or whatever it is. I know that they have given literally hundreds if not thousands of hours to work at the church. I mean, they were there possibly yesterday cleaning out, giving so we get the palms, you know, alongside the bunker building there. Alongside the parish hall, or they were with us as we were at our feeding stations and feeding people in need, or all the other great and good things that we do in the church. They're there and they're giving of their hours and stuff. But the thing is, when it gets down to totally accepting biblical Christianity as the Word of God presents it to us, these casual Christians step back and compromise. And that's a very sad reality. It's easy to be in the crowd and wave the hosannas. I guess it's even just as easy by my life to be able to cry, crucify him by the way I live sometimes. And that choice is ours, church, who we're going to be. Not whether we're going to shout Hosanna or crucify him, but whether we're going to choose to live in accordance with God's word in its totality, even if it disagrees with our political positions or our civil obligations, or all the other parts and pieces that makes us up as people in this time and place. The fact that we're willing to compromise and become that casual critter is what we all face. And we get to choose. Jesus said to his best friends, Peter, James, and John, why are you asleep? Why are you asleep? I say to myself, as I say to all of you, wake up. The time of trial is happening right now. And we don't need any more casuals. The church is in desperate need of those who are willing to totally commit themselves to Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, and on the third day physically rose from the grave. None of that is optional. They are the essentials, along with the other things that our creeds hold for us. To God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ascribe all might, majesty, and dominion, now and forevermore. Amen.